everybody. My name is Giulia Vendra and you're listening to the Pollution Podcast. Today, in the fourth episode of the podcast, we want to talk about the future of the environment, a step-by-step path where environmental policies, technical solution and innovation team up through the monitoring of stationary sources. I know, guys, it sounds quite complicated, but it's easier than you think, and we are here for you. A big warm welcome back to Eugenio Endrigo, our expert manager here at Pollution. Eugenio, thank you for being here today.
Thanks to you, Giulia, and hello to everyone listening to this podcast. I'm very happy to be here again today and be able to speak with a colleague from Texas, so Raymond Linden from Houston Analytical System. Hi, Raymond.
Hello from Texas, everyone. Thanks very much for having me. It's going to be a pleasure to be a part of your program.
Hi, Raymond. It's a pleasure to have you here with us. Raymond is the owner of the U.S. company Houston Analytical System. And yeah, welcome.
Thanks. Yeah, I met Raymond while looking for partners in U.S. and he's a very experienced professional in the field of environmental monitoring. So he gave us a big help in understanding and better understanding the U.S. market and what are the needs specifically of this place. So thanks.
I know, right? It's also, you know, such a long way that is, you know, between us, you know, from Bologna where we are to Houston where Raymond is.
Oh, yes, but it's going to be a great partnership and thank you very much.
I know. Thank you, Raymond. Eugenio, if you agree, I would let Raymond talk first about today's topic. In our latest white paper, VOC Monitoring on Stationary Sources, From Environmental Policies to Technical Solution, we try to explain how environmental policies changed and which technical solution have been found to monitor emission. It was a long and challenging journey, wasn't it, Raymond?
You are right. Yes, it's a long journey and it's continued. We're not finished. As you said from the white paper, in the past, there was a primary origin of local air pollution and emissions from just stationary sources in the United States. And as these sites generated more and more of this pollutants, it came from all different types of systems, power plants, refineries and chemical plants, we have a lot of those, steel factories, cement, and all different types of industries. But these pollutants were emitted into the air from this fossil fuel, so much fossil fuel that it caused many, many different pollutions to be initiated. So this is something we're dealing with now, and it's continuously changing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably, you know, when this long journey started, probably back in the late 60s or 70s, when you and the U.S. government started with the Clean Air Act, which was a turning point in the pollution monitoring. Is that right, Raymond?
Absolutely, yes. Air pollution was a big problem, and then the government decided to come up with the Clean Air Act. They put together an organization, the EPA, and those groups started doing the limiting of the pollutants of different types across everywhere in the United States. Some states like California had even the highest amount of pollution, so they had the most regulations applied upon them. And these different sources, like I said earlier, were from all different types of plants, chemical plants, refineries, utilities, steel mills, everything. So that was a big impact with the clean air, and it will continue to do that. Don't you have regulations also in Europe of some type? I think so.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. In especially with the European Union, many different laws have been promulgated. And so the most recent one, which basically puts together old legislations and old standards, has been released in 2010. Which has a less cooler name than Clean Air Act, and it's called Directive Number 75. But basically, it's a very similar process that happened in the US. So with this directive number 75, the aim was to reduce and eliminate as far as possible the pollution arising from industrial activities, so from stationary sources, so the chimneys that we all see around our industrial areas. So in order to prevent and control these industrial emissions, has been created a list of 13 different pollutants, which are the most important ones, which are the most dangerous one for human health. So for example, these compounds could be SO2, carbon monoxide, nitrates, volatile organic compounds. So all a series of chemicals that are basically integrated in these legislations. So it's also about how you measure this type of compounds. So Raymond, you have inside the Clean Air Act a whole series of different methods and different systems to monitor emissions. So I know it can be hard to explain, but can you maybe give us a small insight of this topic?
So yeah, Raymond, as Eugenio said, do you feel like explaining to us the difference between, you know, the different US IPA methods, so 0030 through 25 and 5041A?
Yes, thank you. There's many different methods that use different analytical systems, like there's FIDs, there's the infrared systems, and then those for like the volatile type, organic type analysis that's part of the 0030 method. And then there's these devices that are either a sampler or a sorbent cartridge. These types, when they're used, they just give you a quick amount of testing, but over a long period of time, but it's not continuous. And so the difficulty is that when you don't have the continuous analysis of what's going on with the exhaust and with all the pollutants, it's not going to be a total picture. It's just going to be a partial picture. So these different methods are giving all different types of really information that's it's not conclusive.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Raymond. It's very important to discriminate between what is a continuous emission monitoring system, which is called the SEMT, and something that is a batch analysis, so with sorbent tubes, for example. In Europe, we have all these legislations about this continuous emission monitoring system. So basically, any company and any industry that's releasing some gas in the atmosphere, they need to check continuously this gas. So there are all a series of different analytical devices that are put along the stream, the gas stream, and maybe before a filtration system or after a filtration system, before being released in the atmosphere, then these compounds needs to be checked and needs to be below a certain level that the law described. So all this data that is coming from this this instrument is put together with the DAS, which is a data acquisition and handling system. So all these data are put together and a report is created with all the different concentration. So very important, the SEM and the data acquisition in the new system.
Thank you for explaining that, Eugenio. Raymond, what do you think is, you know, the relationship between CEMAs and the AHS?
Well, the continuous emissions monitoring systems are the ones that are going to give the best results, and those are the ones that they have a huge data acquisition system. So it stores a lot of information, and it's going to be more conclusive of what's really going on within the atmosphere and makes the best analysis for what the pollutants are.
The, you know, guys, the Clean Air Act was extremely important and definitely related to controlling more and in a better way the environment. Raymond, can you expand more on the impact that it had on the environment?
There's many different things. One that was tested and a lot of work done toward the cooling towers and the water that comes from the cooling towers from the process plants it's a cool water that goes and takes the heat out of the plant. But in the same terms, the pipes that are doing that have leaks. And so the vapors that are in that plant are going into the water. It goes over to the cooling tower itself. And then as it goes down and cools itself off, this same volatile organic compounds are coming out of that water and they're going up into the atmosphere. So you actually have another source of VOCs that are getting into the air from the actual operation of that plant, that particular refinery or chemical plant.
So very important to check also all these emissions. It's a very complicated topic to control the emissions and the pollutants in the environment. So that's why it's always a work in progress with this legislation. And it's important to move on and move forward towards also different and more innovative solution for the analytical detection. So even the research behind this, it's very important and will help us in having a green future.
Let's talk about for a second about volatile organic compounds. That's another important aspect that the VOC have in our white paper.
Yes, that's true. Particularly interesting is that the US EPA decided to regulate many of the compounds, and they called them VOCs, volatile organic carbon type materials. And for this, they have the different types of analyzers. They have a infrared analyzer system. They have, which is one method, and then they have the FID, flame ionization detector, is another system. And these are the ones that are being used, and the ones that can give, like I was talking about, continuous data and information that makes it more valid.
Yes, we have a very similar situation in Europe as well. Regarding the VOCs, the only certified detection that can be used is with the FID, so flame ionization detector. It's very sensitive analytical method. Basically, the carbon that is contained in the gas enters this detection chamber, it is burned, and then the instrument knows the concentration of the compounds that were released in the gas stream. So very, very important. In this way, so it's not just important to measure continuously, but in some cases, in many cases, it's also important to see if there is a spike in the production, if there is something going on. So it is also important to have portable devices that can be used to monitor VOCs, both as a diffusive emission, for example, from a leakage in a tube, and also as a stack emission. So, for example, and here is where also our partnership with Raymond has been built up, we in Pollution Analytical Equipment have produced a portable FID analyzer, which is called Polaris FID. Is that right, Raymond?
Yes, that's correct. And these are important because when you're trying to do these VOCs, you need to have different devices like the continuous emissions monitoring systems that are going to be giving complete data 24 hours a day. But then there's situations and where we need to have something that's a simple test, and that can be done easily periodically with a portable FID like the Polaris. And then you also have different types of screening around where they have leaks detection, around pumps and things like that. And those are having to be done quarterly by a lot of the states in the United States. So all this together has to be done in order to get the best picture.
Absolutely, absolutely. So really, what started in the 60s with the Clean Air Act and with the legislation in Europe, then was developed during the years, and governments and industry realized that a more strict control of pollutants is very, very important. So there are, as Raymond said, there are different ways in how we should monitor the pollutants. So, for example, with our Polaris FID, it is possible to do batch analysis to bring the FID very easily on top of a stack to measure different stacks. And so the it's very easy to use. And this gives the possibility to workers to do the monitoring in a safer way, giving also more precise results. So really, we believe that in the future, this kind of approach will be a game changer. So we hope that also in the US, this will start to rise and to improve the importance that it has.
Gentlemen, I believe this was a very productive chat on such important topics. I hope we made clear our work and why it's so important to develop the monitoring industry in the way it actually developed. Raymond, Eugenio, thank you so much.
Thanks, Julia. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Julia. It's a pleasure.
Maybe next time you can come here in Italy.
We all hope so. And maybe we should go to Houston. That would be better.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Maybe we can go to Houston.
Yes, you need to come to Houston. We go riding on horses and have fun.
I would love that, honestly. So, guys, I think that's it for today. You can follow up our initiative on our website, pollution.it. And if you're interested in reading our white paper, you can find it on our website. Thank you for being with us today and talk to you soon.
This podcast is sponsored by podcastfarm.co, leader in business podcast productions.